VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Okay, here's a little something which you could consider an occasional feature. We'll very originally call game podcast bonus, something like that. We're going to take advantage of the fact that Julien Laurens is here with us to follow up on this issue in France. I wrote a column about it in Monday's game. In a nutshell, back in November, there was a meeting among some senior members of the French FA's technical unit, including the technical director, Blancard, the French national team coach, Laurent Blanc, the under-20 manager, the under-21 manager. And within the course of this, they talked about several issues to do with, I guess, identity, race, nationality. And one of the issues that came up, Julien, was perhaps a quota system. Now, why would you even think to have a quota system? Is it because Laurent Blanc, as his last name implies, wants to have an all-white national team filled with Gallic purebreds like yourself?
Yeah, no, it's a bit wider than that. Basically, they think that through our youth academies in the country, so clubs academy and federation academies, they give football education to some kids who then never end up playing for France. So they're paying basically for their football education, and then those players who usually have two nationalities from their parents' origin, then go to play for another country like Senegal or Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, things like that. And they feel that's unfair on the federation side, that they pay for those kids' education and then they never end up playing for France, so that the federation never gets the benefit of paying for their football education and then for them playing for France.
Now, one obvious thing that comes to mind, I think Liliane Thuram alluded to this, is that generally speaking, most of these guys end up playing for, Senegal or Morocco or whatever, because they're not good enough to play for France and because France doesn't want them, right?
Exactly. Those players, those kids, they grew up in France, yeah? Yes, their parents might be from Morocco or Senegal, but they, most of them were born in France. They grew up in France. They played for France under 16, 17, usually even up to under 21. And then they, It's quite easy to see if you're good enough or not to play one day for France, and most of them realize quickly that they will never play for France. So then they turn to the other country, their parents' country, and say, okay, well, I will never play for France, so maybe I should play for Morocco and try to go to the World Cup and the African Cup of Nations. And that's what some have done. And again, I can't see how you can prevent those players from playing for the other country, their other nationality, if they're not good enough to play for France.
It seems to me too that doing it on the basis of race is a little bit screwy, because as I understand it, there's people like Koscielny or Obraniak who are also French and dual nationality, just that they're white.
The big scandal is that they pointed out black and Muslim kids, so from North Africa and black Africa, basically saying we've got too many in our youth academies, we need to get rid of some of them, and we need to put a quota of 30% of black and Muslim kids in our youth academies, and the rest would be, white kids, which is like scandalous and disgraceful. And obviously they're not talking about some kids who have both Spanish and French nationalities, or Italian and French, or Polish and French, like Koscielny or Braniak. And you've got loads of players who were born in France and then decide to go and play for another country apart from North Africa and West Africa.
There was another quote attributed to Laurent Blanc, which I found slightly sinister, where he said, you know, this, we need to get away from sort of muscles and size and so on. Every time I go to Spain, they tell me that they don't have this quote-unquote problem because they don't have blacks. Obviously, forgetting, I guess, Loudon and people like that, but we go back a few years on that one. But what does he mean by that?
Well, it means that in France we've got too many black people, and that's.
But how does that create a problem, football-wise? I mean, that Desailly is pretty good. William Gallus,
exactly, and that's where that it shows you that Laurent Blanc is a very ignorant man, I think, and not that clever at all to say things like that, especially in the position he's in. The one thing is that he's obsessed with Spain and the way they play football, and he wants, you know, France to play like them. Surely he should realize by now that we don't have the same culture and we would never play like them anyway, and that not many people can play like them anyway either. And then he has to realize that all black kids and all black players are not all tall, quick and powerful. You know, some of them are very skillful. I think Pelé was not white, and that you can have black kids that are really good with the ball like Xavi and Iniesta. So I think it shows, and that's my real problem, because Blanc, you know, was having a lot of credit for the work he was doing for France, and that shows how ignorant he can be and how stupid he can be.
There is another point to make here, and perhaps in Blanc's offense, was that these guys were having a private conversation, and they were being secretly taped by a man named Mohamed Belkacemi, who was an official of the French FA. I believe he was sort of in charge of football in the inner cities and in the banlieues. Obviously, you can probably guess from the name, Mohamed Belkacemi is obviously, you know, not a relative of Charles de Gaulle. If Blanc felt comfortable enough talking about this openly in front of Belkacemi, does that tell you that he genuinely didn't see anything wrong or the need to be secretive, A? And B, is this a healthy organization where people go sort of tape secretly recording each other's conversations?
Well, the first part of the question, yes, I think Blanc was completely comfortable about it because he sees as a problem that so many players are you know, going through the French academies and then play for another country. That, you know, that's his problem. Then the fact that Mohamed Belkacemi taped the meeting, I mean, it's like if you, Gab, you were, I don't know, maybe at the times with your bosses and meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, they were saying, oh, Italians are this bad, the Italians are that bad, you know, we have too many Italians in England, you know, we should get rid of them. I think at some point you would get really angry, and I think that's what Belkacemi felt like. And, you know, I can't blame him for taping it, because he didn't tape it to leak it to the press. He taped it and then went to see the boss of the French Federation and said, listen, you know, I can't have more of that. Listen to the tape. You see how they're talking about black kids, Muslim kids, you know, the one I work with every day in poor areas of France, and I help them through football to achieve something in their lives. And look how they talk about them. And I don't think we can blame him for that.
Do we have any general sense of how much the French FA actually spends on things like Clairefontaine? Because I just want to clarify this point, because, you know, I'm looking at it from the club's perspective, right? If I'm Marseille or Lyon, I presumably have my own academy, and I don't really care if my kid ends up playing for France or Morocco or whatever else. You know, it's all the same to me as long as he plays for my club or I sell him for a lot of money. So how big is this problem? Is this problem really? I mean, how many kids does Clairefontaine, or how many kids enter the French FA's development system?
Well, they've got a few academies. Obviously, the one in Clairefontaine in Paris is the biggest one, but then you've got some in
some
Southwest.
Ones.
Yeah, exactly. Some regional ones. And
should how say many that, kids a year are we talking about?
Well, it depends of the part of the country, but let's say probably just around 20 kids for each academy in each promotion. You stay there usually for 3 years.
And how many academies are there?
Five are from the Federation, and then you've got obviously the rest of the other big clubs like Lyon, Marseille and stuff.
But Laurent Blanc can't impose a quota on the club's one. So,
but they talked about it though. That's even worse, because they talked about, and even Blacar, who's definitely completely stupid, said that Lyon and Marseille, they already do quotas, which they don't. But yeah, that shows you how even worse it was. But the idea initially was to put that quotas in every club in France, every club academy in France, and the Federation academies as well.
Final point on this. One of the things that, if you listen to the, if you read these transcripts, that seems to be taken as a given is that there's certain stereotyping of particularly black players and I guess they're all generally of West African descent, the vast majority, is that these kids are bigger, stronger, they mature faster, and so on, and that there's kind of a trade-off between playing these kids in your under-12s, under-14s, because you want to win, but then maybe, you know, they don't really develop, so maybe you should play some of the smaller players who develop later on. Mm-hmm. Is this generally taken as a given? Is it taken as a fact that black players in France, the vast majority of them, mature sooner and are therefore going to be bigger and stronger at a younger age?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's true that there are a lot of them in academies because when they're 14 or 15, they're taller and stronger than other kids because, you know, because they're usually, you know, more physical for some of them. And like you said, because they mature, you know, earlier. But at some point, their progression slows down a bit and the other kids catch up. And in the end, you know, there's some of them become professional, some don't, but it's more level at the end. But my problem is that how hypocritical it is that French football has benefited so much from players with dual nationalities. You know, obviously Zidane, Desailly, Makelele, all, you know, Makelele and Desailly were even born in Africa. And now that we've benefited for so long, we're saying, hang on a minute, you know, we should change something because we're angry that we're forming them and then they go and play for another country. I'm sorry, if you had put those quotas 20 years ago, or even 40 years ago, back before that, Raymond Kopa would have never played for France. Michel Platini would have never played for France. Zinedine Zidane would have never played for France. Marcel Desailly, Claude Makélélé, Patrick Vieira, and so on and so on. And I think, you know, that's the French society anyway. That's the French culture. All of us almost have a grandparent or a parent who's born in another country, and we could play for both countries. And I think that, you know, if you want to change that, then you have to change the whole French society. And I think it's wrong. And my last point would be, you can come back in 10 years and talk about it again. And in 10 years, amongst the kids at Clairefontaine and in other academies, all of them, or most of them, we play for France because they're just good enough, and very few of them we play for another country of their parents' origin or something. Evaluates so much according to the talent of the kid. So at the moment, yes, loads of them go and play for another country, and only few of them play for France because the ratio is, over the last 30 kids coming out of Clairefontaine, 26 are for another country and 4 only are for France. But in 5 years' time, it could be the complete opposite, and 26 will play for France and only 4 for another country.
Final point, Julien, should Laurent Blanc continue as manager of France?
That's a tough one, Gab. I think his position is very fragile, that's for sure. I think he made a massive mistake. I think he's realised it now. I think his position will get tougher and tougher as that investigation that you were talking rightly in your column, you know, is developing and going through. Soon we'll have the result of that investigation. Personally, I think he went too far and he should have gone by himself. Now, as a journalist, as a football writer, French football writer, I think that he's doing a good job with the French national team, and there's no one better than him for the job, so that maybe he should stay. So I'm even not sure myself.
Julien Laurence, thank you so much.
Thanks.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.